We're entering the rarefied airspace of one of the great Yom Tovim on the calendar, and that's Hanukkah. And I want to talk about all the Yom Tovim and what exactly they are. Every Yontif, every Regel, every Yontif Derabanan, every major and minor day on the calendar has special Eiris. There are special lights, special energy that's emitted from them. A very unique energy, a very unique type of R, a unique type of light that is an opportunity for us to absorb and to gain from if we're able to. Which means that we have certain abilities during these moments of the year to accomplish great things in a ruchniistic sense, to be able to have our neshama absorb the great opportunities that present themselves at these moments in time. This is what we mean when we say in davening, Vasienu Hashem Elokeinu es birkas mayadecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should uplift us in order to be able to accomplish the birkas mayadecha, the great brachas, the great blessings that are unique each and every yantiv. The Michtam Eliyahu brings in a sefer from his Rebbe, Reb Tzvi Hirsch Breide, that the year, the Jewish calendar, is not linear. It's not a straight line. As we think of time in a linear fashion. If I'm 20 years old, that means that 20 years ago I was born, now I'm 20, and 20 years I'll be 40, and 40 years I'll be 80, v'chule. And that's something that is wrong. That's not true when it comes to time. Time, he says, is in fact a circle. It's sort of a Ferris wheel that you go on, you enter, and every single yontif, we enter into that station of time, that moment in time, that energy of time of that yontif. So for example, when we come back to the yontif of Pesach, when we arrive, let's say, by Pesach, it's not just that we're commemorating the time thousands of years ago when we left Egypt. We're actually going back into Zman Chayrusenu. We are entering again into the time of our freedom, which presents each one of us with an ability to become free from things that we need to be free from. If it's Taivas, if it's Gaiva, if it's free from certain people that are abusive to us, if it's the freedom to be able to have a clear mind in learning, whatever those opportunities are, these are things that the yontif, the time, presents itself. And there are eiros, there are these lights that are emitted, this energy source, and you have the ability to enter it and to be completely changed. A yontif is not just a time to eat and to drink the daven special davenings. It's a time to absorb into our neshama things that we never had before and things that we might not get again. And these are, this is the beauty of yontif. This is why so many people, if they spend yontif in the right way, they're uplifted. They come back revitalized, renewed, re-energized to be able to go till the next yontif. In Chaim Berlin, Yom Tovim were major events on the calendar. And every night there's a mimer, there's a tish, there's a dancing. The davenings are very long, and they try to absorb and squeeze out all of the juice of the yontif, and then they take the eiros with them. All of that stays with them, and they're able to go from this yontif to till the next yantif from all of those unique iris. The iris of one yantif are not the same iris as the next yantif. If Pesach is Zman Chereseinu, then Shavuos is Zman Matan Tereseinu. We're able to go back to Har Sinai because we're going back into that moment in history. We're re-entering that stratosphere, that airspace of history of Zman Matan Tereseinu. So we're literally being Makabel the Torah anew if we have those Machshavas. And then we go to Sukkot, which has its own uniqueness. And then Chanukah has its iris. Purim has its iris. Every single yantav has its iris. The Kedushas Levi used to say that this is what it means when we make the bracha Sha'asa Nisim Laveisenu by Yamim Haheim Bazman Azeh. Hashem performed miracles in those days by Yam Haheim Bazman Azeh, in these times. What does it mean? By Yam Haheim in those days Bazman Azeh. It seems to be like a contradictory almost. Is it? Are we commemorating what was or what is, what's going on? So he says that this is the pshat. By Yom Mahim, there was an event that happened. Chanukah miracle, Purim miracle, Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkot, all of these things happened then. But it's Bazman Hazeh. Don't think for a second that it's a commemoration of the 3,000th whatever year that we were Makabel the Torah. That's not true. We're going back and being Makabel the Torah again. We're entering into the space of time on this Ferris wheel. We're going around and around in circles, and we enter again into that moment in time. And it provides for us tremendous opportunities. There's a Chidush HaRim, one of the Ger Rebbes, the great Chidush HaRim, that says that the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Chaf Aleph, which speaks about the Sugya of Chanukah, it says, Lishona Acheres, Kavom Vasam, Yamim Taivim Bahalav Aida, that after the miracle of Chanukah took place, they waited a whole year, and Lashana Acheres, the following year, they established the Yantif of Chanukah. And all the Mefarshim asked, why did they do this? Why did they wait a whole nother year? Why not just do it then and there? We got the miracle, the Pachshem and the Melchama. So let's say right now, okay, it's Yantif, guys. Everybody has to celebrate Yantif. Why did they wait a whole year? And the Chiddush HaRim says that all of the Yamim Tovim have, like we said, these Iris that are coming out of it. Pesach, Yitzias Mitzrayim, other Mayadim, their own, Birchas Mayadecha. And when they came to be Kaveya Chanukah, they didn't want to be Kaveya it right away because they didn't know if this was in fact a Yantif that was establishable as one of these great moments on the circle of the Jewish calendar year. So what they did was, they waited. And when they came back to Chodesh Kislev, like we're in now, and they started feeling that there were rays, there were these emissions of light, of Kedusha, of energy, of Chanukah, then they understood that this was a time of Yantif, and now they knew that there should be Kaveya it as a Chag, as a new Yantif, on the calendar. But first they have to wait a whole year to make sure that it fits into this paradigm of what a Jewish Yantav is. It's a time to re-energize ourselves and to be able to understand the Yantav. We can't, if we're going into a Yantav and we don't understand what it is, we don't learn the Torah of the Yantav, we don't know the halachas of the Yantav, we're just like doing it on the fly, then we're not going to be able to understand and to soak up fully or even partially what the Yantif is all about. We'll eat the donuts and we'll light the candles and we'll, maybe dance by a mesiba, sit by a tish, but we're not going to be able to really appreciate the Yom unless we're engaged in the mitzvah Yom properly. And we're in a place and in a time that we can really get into it. If we're just doing it, randomly, and that's how we do all our Yom Tovim, that's fine, but our neshamas are not getting those sources of energy that they need. These are necessary rays of Kedusha that the Neshama needs to go forward. And that would be deprived of us, and that would be a terrible shame. And what happens if, let's say, we feel, after hearing what I just said, I feel bad. Like, I missed out on a lot of those rays of Kedusha. Maybe I didn't celebrate Sukkot properly. Maybe I wasn't into it as I should be. Maybe I was busy studying, for college, or I went on a trip, but I didn't really take in those iris. I wasn't able to properly absorb it, and my neshama is deficient because of it. Or I didn't appreciate Rosh Hashanah, all the kedusha of Rosh Hashanah, time to be mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a melech, and I blew it. I didn't do what I was supposed to. Yom Kippur, a time of tshuva, of kapara, of amazing aliyah, ne'ilah, and I missed it. Is there a way for me to go back in time and catch those rays, or do I have to wait a whole nother year till next Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, because I blew it, I missed out on all these amazing opportunities, the Birchas Mayadecha, that I just let slip through my fingers. There's a sefer called Arugas HaBaisim. Arugas HaBaisim was one of the great Hungarian Gedalim, a Gain Gana Gainim. His name is Ramesha Greenwald. He lived from 1853 to 1910. And very famous sefer, the Arugas HaBaisim. And he writes there something amazing based on this week's parsha, based on Parshas Vayetze. At the beginning of the parasha, it says, Vayifka b'makim. Yaakov Avinu realizes that on his way to Haran, he passed by a very special place. He missed a certain stop on the way that he should have gone to. And that was, of course, the Har Moriah, the Makam HaKedah, the Makam of the entire Bris HaElam. And he felt very bad. Yaakov Avinu felt bad, and he says that Efsher Shavarti al Mukim Shespalu Avaisai Vla Yispalalti Sham, is it possible that I passed by the place that my father Yitzchak, my grandfather Avram, they davened? Har Moriah was the Mukim Atfilo of the world, as it still is. I missed the boat. I passed by the place and I didn't daven. Is it possible? Nasan Daitai Lachsa, Rashi continues and says that he decided, you know what, I'm going to turn back. I'm going to go back. I don't want to just ignore the place. I'm going to start heading backwards. Ubahara Meiriel Lekrasa, and at that moment, Vayifka Bamakim, the place actually came and met him. It's not even a Kvitsa Derech. The mountain of Har Meiriah moved and came to Yaakov Avinu, and Yaakov Avinu davened there. Of course, he fell asleep there. He had the dream about the ladder there. He built a mizbeach there. Frekta Arugas HaBaisem, what's going on here? What's this whole story that Rashi is telling us? Is it really possible to believe that Yaakov Avinu, he completely, just forgot to do something? We're absent-minded sometimes, and we forget to do certain errands that we were supposed to. We forget to do certain things on our list of things to do. Completely, forgot. And we're human beings, and we can, that could happen to us. Do you really believe for a second that Yaakov Avinu, the Bechir Sheba Avis, the choicest, the finest, the most perfect of the Avis, do you think for a second that he just happened to be passing by Har Moriah and he was just like whistling by as he passed by and he didn't even think for a second to daven there? Is that possible for us to believe? He says also, why was it important for this miracle that Har Moriah comes to greet him? And what was lacking if he would actually go and schlep back to Har Moriah? Why did Har Moriah have to come and greet him? These are questions that, should enter our minds when we learn such a Rashi. And listen to what he says. He says an amazing yisaid. He says that Maisa Aves Simin Labanim, famous klal, it's a medrash really, but it was popularized, it was made famous really by the Ramban. Ramban speaks at length many times in his Pirish on Chumash how whatever the Aves did were really just creating a template for us to follow. They were creating patterns for us, their descendants, to know that this is what you're supposed to do. So when the Avis, let's say, it was a Rav in Canaan, and they went down to Mitzrayim, and then because of incidents that happened, the Mitzrayim were smitten by a plague in the house of Parai, in the house of Avimelech, wherever it was that they went, and then they were sent free with a lot of money. If that storyline sounds familiar, it's because it repeated itself later in history when Klal Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim, and then they were slaves there, and then the Makkos happened, we were freed, Baruch Hosh Gadol, we went to Mekabel the Torah, and we went back to Eretz Yisrael eventually. This is how it is with everything. There are patterns in time. The Avos were not just living for themselves. They were living for us. They were showing us the way through every action that happened. And that's why the Torah is Ma'arech. The Torah really goes into detail. And when the Torah does, and Chazal do, to show us exactly what they were doing, because it's so important to get it right. In the Parashas Vayishlach, when Esav and Yaakov have that encounter, so Ramban brings that every time the great Jewish emissaries of Klal Yisrael would go to meet with the Roman leaders, the Roman government officials for Shtadlanus, to try to do something for Klal Yisrael, to stop a gezeira from happening, or to have some hatava, some benefit from the Roman government, whatever it is, they would learn Be'iyah in the Parsha of Vayishlach. This encounter between Yaakov and Esav was very important, because in that parsha, you're able to see all that you need to see when you're dealing with the Esav of your time. Rome descends from Esav, Klal Yisrael descends from Yaakov. When you want to know what to do, how exactly to talk to the officials, how to plead, you have to have daira, and you have to send them gifts, you have to daven, you have to prepare for milchama. These are things that we're being taught by the Avos HaKadoshim, so that we should follow. And whatever they did will happen to us. History will repeat itself when it comes to Klal Yisrael. By Goyim, it's just a line. History repeats itself. Those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. It's just a line. It may be true. It may not be true. But by Klal Yisrael, it's certainly true. History does repeat itself. History is meant to repeat itself. The Maisa Aves are Asim and Labanim. And whatever they did is for us to know, this is what we should do. This is what we should do midas-wise. This is what we should do strategically. This is what we should do in terms. This is what will happen if we follow their course. This is how it's going to play itself out. This is Maisa Avesim Labanim. Says the Arugas Avesim. A lot of times we regret that we missed opportunities. We look back, that Rosh Hashanah was a Shvacha Rosh Hashanah. I wish I could go back in time to get the iris of Rosh Hashanah, the iris of Yom Kippur. I wasn't feeling well Yom Kippur. I slept through Yom Kippur. I need those iris. I feel that I missed out, but I feel I blew it. Like, what am I supposed to do? You can't go back in time, right? You have to just go forward. Says the Arugas HaBaisim, what Yaakov Avinu is teaching us in this week's parasha is that that's not true. Yaakov Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mesavev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged it in such a way that Yaakov Avinu did just pass by, which is unbelievable. It's inconceivable that Yaakov Avinu should just pass by Har Moriah and not daven there if he knew that this was the most special place in the world. How did that happen? It happened because the Rabbeinu Shlalom made it happen. Why did he make it happen? Because he wanted that Yaakov Avinu should go beyond Har Moriah to Haran. And then all of a sudden, chap, that wait a minute, I had a chance to catch iris, to catch rays of Kedusha on Har Moriah, and I blew it. What do I do now? Can I go back? He says, yes, I could go back. He turns around, and all of a sudden, Har Moriah comes to him. Lelame, this comes to teach every single one of us that when a person yearns to go back in time to a special moment, to a special experience, to get the iris, and I don't even know if it's just the iris of Mayadim. That's what we're talking about today. But it could be iris of other experiences. Let's say you had a great experience in Eretz Yisrael. And you remember you visited the Kaisel. You want to go back to that moment at Kever Rachel, that moment that in yeshiva there. A moment of a fond moment in time that you spent with a grandparent that maybe is no longer, or a parent that's no longer. And you want to just go back in time. I want the iris of that time. Can I get there again, or is it gone? This week's parasha teaches us, says the Arugas HaBaisem, that Maisa v'sim labanim, as soon as you turn back and you want to go back to that place that you felt you missed out on, you turn back and all of a sudden all of those areas flood you and you're able to be zeicha once again to get all of that kedusha, the kedusha sayayim of Rosh Hashanah, of Yom Kippur, the simcha of Sukkot, the zman matan Torah Seina, the simchas Torah, whatever it is that you want, you can go back. If your mind is there, you could be there. I wanted to be meisif one, perhaps similar yisaid that it, I think there's MS too. Similar yisaid to the Rugas HaBaisem. You know, we know that the bracha rishayin of Shemayna Esrei, the first bracha of Shemayna Esrei, is vital to understand what you're saying. It's a very important bracha, the first bracha, which we call Aves. Aves is like a bracha that you have to get right. Because all the other brachas of Shemayna Esrei, you just have to have kavana that you're aimed lefnei HaMelech. You have to know that, you have to be in the zone that you're davening, you're standing before the king. But the actual Pirush HaMilim, obviously it would be great if we had kavana for every word, but very often that's impossible. It's hard to be mechavin for so long, so deep into Shemayna Esrei. But the bracha rishayna, you have to get right. You have to get right. And you probably heard me say 1,000 times that for me personally and for people a billion times greater than me, the bracha rishayna of Shemayna Esrei is challenging. First of all, I don't know how many of you, you know, could be honest enough to realize that very often, you know, before you even realize that you're in Shemayna Esrei, it's already slach lanu. You know, maybe the clapping, the breastfeeding wakes you up a little bit to even chap that you're in Shemayna Esrei. Very often you get, you know, you blow through aves and, you know, and you didn't have kavana. It's a hard bracha to understand. I always say if the first bracha of Shemayna Esrei was Shema Kaleinu, we'd knock it out of the park every time because it's a personal bakasha. Rifa'enu, we have people in the hospital sick. Okay, but the first bracha is aves, elikenu ke'avram, yitzhak, yakev, akel, agadol. It's understandable almost to get a little bit confused in the middle of that bracha. But it's a bracha that we have to get right. It's a bracha that we have to get right. In halacha, it's brought that, you know, you would think that if you get it wrong, what should you do? If you're not Yaitzi Shman Esrei on a certain level, whatever, there's Torah about exactly, you know, why. Anyway, but what would you do? You'd think you'd go back to the beginning and start all over again. But in halacha, it's brought that we don't let you do that because if you blew it the first time, chances are you're going to blow it again and again anyway. So just keep going. You know, why you keep going, how you can make those other brachas, a lot of discussion in that about the lamdas of tefillah and how that works. But it's not for now. But if you look in the Dirshu Mishneh Berurah, there is something that's an amazing chiddush that they bring from the Chazon Ish. And he says that, let's say I say Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avram, and all of a sudden I realize, you know what? I blew it again. I didn't think about a word that I was saying. Bracha Rishayna of Shemayna Esrei. It happens to me, I'm embarrassed to say, quite often. I was about to say daily. Probably, you know, it's worse than that. But, you know, it happens all the time. You know, you're just davening, all of a sudden you realize, you know, I didn't have kavana during the first Bracha Rishayna of Shemayna Esrei. I think I said by my Shabbat Shuvah Drasha that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, when they asked him what your Kabbalah for this coming year is, he said, this year I'm going to try to be mechavin in the first bracha of Shemayna Esrei. So, you know, it's obviously, it's a problem. But let's say you say Magen Avraham, and all of a sudden you realize that, you know, I didn't have kavana in the whole bracha Rishayna, I blew up this. What do I do now? Says the Chazon Ish, you can stop, and you could sort of, in your mind, look over the words of the first bracha, like sort of just scan the words of the first bracha and be mechavin to what's going on in that first bracha and the, you know, up to Magen Avraham, and then go weiter. And with that, you're able to somehow, it counts as if you had kavanah of the first bracha of Shemayna Esrei. It's an amazing eitz of the Chazon Ish. And once you're already past that, Stama doesn't work. But after Magen Avraham, if you're able to, says the Chazon Ish, to go and think, then you should. That's what you should do. And I was thinking that this Chazon Ish is mamish, like, in line, I think, with the Arugas HaBaisim. What happened? You're davening Shemoneh Esrei. You should be mechavin to Yisrael, like Avraham, like Yitzchak. You're mamish walking by the Har Maria. You're passing by the Har Maria. Like Avraham, like, this is a place. Avraham karer har, Yitzchak karer sada, Yaakov karer bayis. This is a place that the Avis are davening in. This is the kviyas of tefillah comes of tefillas Avis Tiknum. And for some reason, I'd like to say the Rabbeinu Shalom was mesaviv it, but generally I was mesaviv it. I passed by the makim shespalu habaisa. I passed by the mention of Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. V'lo yispalalti, I had no kavana. What do I do? It's too late. I blew it. I said Magen Avraham, and that's it. Go vayter. Forget it. No. The Chazon Ish says you can turn around. Just like Yaakov Avinu, it says that he was Nasan Daita Lachsar, Ubahar Maria Lakrasai. He just set his mind, I want to go back. I don't want to miss that opportunity of Bracha Rishon of Shemoneh Esrei. I want to get it right. I know I blew it. What can I do? No problem. Nasan Daita Lachsar, just put in your mind that you want to go back. You want to go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, and Shemoneh Esrei will come to you. The brachas, the words, the kedusha, the eiros, all of that will come and flood you. And with that, you'll be able to go weiter, back to Charon, back on your journey. But it comes to you. The Baal Shem Tov used to say that b'makim shemachshavtei sheladim nimtzas, shamhu. Wherever a person's machshava is, that's where he is. A person is not where he is geographically. I might be right now sitting in Kew Gardens Hills in Lander College for Men, Beis Medrash Talmud. If my mind is in Paris, I'm in Paris. If my mind is in Yerushalayim, I'm in Yerushalayim. If my mind is in California, I'm in California. Wherever my mind is, says the Baal Shem, that's where I am. They say from Rav Huttner that it's better for a person to be sitting in an office and dreaming about being in the Beis Medrash than a person being in a Beis Medrash and dreaming about being in an office. Sometimes a person is technically in the Beis Medrash, but all he keeps thinking about is, boy, when I become a doctor and I'm going to work in the ER in a hospital, I'm going to be a big businessman, I'm going to be trading, buying, selling, I'm going to be a lawyer in court in the Supreme Court. Your mind is somewhere else. When your mind is outside of the Beis Medrash, then you're outside the Beis Medrash. On the other hand, there are people that are working on Wall Street, they're working in hospitals, they're working in law firms, they're working in stores and businesses, and they're dreaming about, wow, I can't wait to go home. After supper, I'm going to my chavrusa, to a night to a shir, and wake up early in the morning. By lunch break, they're learning. Their mind is always in the Beis Medrash, but physically, they might be in Midtown Manhattan. They might be out in Long Island somewhere, but they're, if their mind is in the Beis Medrash, they're in the Beis Medrash. That's the way it is in life. The Avnei Nezer in Erev in Mem Tesem Abeis, it brings a raya rather from a Mishnah in Erev to this Yisayt of the Baal Shem. The Mishnah there says that if a person is Mishaba B'derech V'chashkala, he's on the road and it's getting dark, Erev Shabbos, and he knew that there's a certain tree or a certain fence down the road, and he thinks that that's where I want to be Shabbos, that's where I want to make my base on Shabbos. So with that, he's able to be kind of Shvisa there, and he's able to get Alpayim Amma. He just bought himself another 2,000 Ammas to walk beyond that ploy. That's how Erevin works. How does that happen? I didn't go there before Shabbos. I didn't set up a lunchbox there. I didn't do anything for it. All I did was think that that's where my Makom Shvisa is. Says the Avnei Nezer, because of the Baal Shem, when a person thinks about being at that location, at that landmark, that's actually where he is. It's a hard thing to understand. We always feel that wherever I am, that's where I am. You are here, you know, in the mall, you have those things on the map that says you are here, this is where I am. It's not true. We are where we are thinking of being. That's how life works. You're not in the present time. You're in whichever time you want to be in. When Hanukkah is coming in Mirtzah Hashem, you could be here, or you could be there and here. It could be Bayam Mahem Bazman Hazeh. I'm living a Hanukkah Dika day. My days should be different on Hanukkah. If Hanukkah is just a time that we have a different schedule because of candle lighting and where we're lighting, and if that's the whole thing, then that's fine. But you're getting the mitzvahs, but we're not absorbing the Hanukkah as it should be. Hanukkah has to be different. Hanukkah has to be a time that you're understanding. You're in an airspace that's unique. There's eiros that you could soak up and you could fill up your gas tank with to last you till the next landmark on the journey. And in case we didn't have that in the past, guess what? We could go back and we could retrieve those eiros. This is a principle that's, like I said before, it's not just restricted, I believe, to Yom Tovim, although that's what the Arugos HaBaisim was talking about. But it's really true for everything in our life. It's true for everything in our life. Like a person gets married, and marriage is a very, very big day in a person's life, obviously. It's a time that a lot of focus is on you. Everybody's coming from far and wide to celebrate in your simcha, and they're dancing for you, and they're watching you under the chuppah, and it's a time of tremendous tefillah. It's a Yom Kippur, the day of the chuppah, and you can accomplish so much. Sometimes, and I tell this to chassanim before the chasno, when I give them a chassan shmuz, the day that I got married, I remember there was a guy in shul, he knew that I was a chassan, he wasn't even invited to the chasno, but he came over after davening to me. He says, "Today's you're getting married." He says, "I want to give you advice that somebody gave me the day that I got married." And the advice was, it was not run. That was not the advice. The advice was that a person should, that when you're at your chasna, do not miss your own chasna. Which means to say that a lot of times at our chasna, it's sort of like the bracha rishonim shmones. We know we should be in the zone, but we're being manhandled. The photographer wants us in this room, and then the caterer wants us in that room, and your mother-in-law says this, and you're all fat tumult, and you're dancing, and it's all happening to you, and all you have really at the end of the night is like a video of what happened, and you could watch it then, and sort of recapture a little bit the experience, which is fine. But he said that at your chasna, like, if you can, like, pinch yourself once in a while and chop, this is my chasna. And experience it fully. Rapam used to say that we say in Uvalutziyain, Shamra Zeis La'ilam. There are certain things that we should be preserving for all time. Rav Pam used to say, why do you have to make such a beautiful chasna for a chasna and kala? It's very, very expensive, a chasna. During COVID, we learned, or we should have learned, that you can actually make a chasna with a minion of people in a backyard, serving potato chips, and they're married. It works. It works. They're just as married as a guy that gets married in the New York Hilton for $1 million. It's the same thing. And I thought maybe after COVID was over that we would learn the lesson and everybody can make regular, normal, takana chasnas, whatever, but a simpler form of chasna. And I was dead wrong. Like I think all that pent up, money or whatever that people were not spending, during COVID, it was released like right after COVID was over and we like made bigger chasnas, it seems. That's just how it seems to me. I don't know. But Rapam says, why do you need to make such a lavish affair? Why do everyone comes in the mitzvah of Misameh Chasan and Kala? L'chayr the Chasan and Kala, they're happy. They found each other. They're getting married. It's so why do you have to be misameach them? It's sort of like redundant, like they don't need you. And Rambam said an amazing thing. He says, it's true. He says, the day of the chasna, they're happy. He says, but sometimes down the road, things get a little rocky sometimes. And that's normal. We spoke about it last night at the Mishmar about, you know, Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Ayin Sham. I'm not going to repeat it if you weren't there. But you can listen to the recording. But the things get rocky sometimes. And sometimes you say, like, Mali Litzarazais, what do I need this for? This is crazy. I'm going through tough times. This is, you know, it's not easy. I have issues. You know, we're not getting along so perfectly. And things are, Rambam says, at those moments, you can look back and remember the Simchas Kulasayach, the Avas Kulasayach, the joy, the love, how everybody came and they were dancing with you and it was a beautiful event and the Shavar Brachas, the Afrof, the Shabbat Chatan, all of whatever it was, you know, how much simcha you enjoyed and all of that simcha fills up your tank so that later in life, not then, but Shamra Zayis La'Olam, it should be preserved in your heart, in your mind, the iris of that event forever and ever that you could always look back and recapture those moments. And I think that's really the Arugas HaBaisim Zvart, that throughout life, sometimes it's very important to look back and to try to recapture moments. It might be the first moment that I had kavana in a davening. It might be that first time that I made a siyum on a mesechta. It might be the first time that I said a chabura. It might be the first time that I really enjoyed a yantif, a masiba, a yeshiva, a chavrusa shaft, something I enjoyed. I look back fondly. That looking back fondly is not just merely, you know, memories and romanticizing the past. And no, when we look back, we're actually there. We can actually go back in time and space, and we could be medalag alahar and mekapetz alagvais. We could jump over all of the obstacles that we think are there, the time obstacles and the space obstacles, and we're able to recapture moments in our past and relive them and get those iris again. And sometimes, like, we miss certain things in our life, and we're, let's say we were steiging in Eretz Yisrael, and now I'm back in America, and I'm in college, and my family's doing this and that, and it's hard for me. Or I don't feel like I'm the same Ben Taira as I was then. I don't feel the same Kedusha in Queens as I felt in Eretz Yisrael. That's normal. But you should just know that in your mind, no matter how far back that experience was, and no matter how far away it was, it is, a person can think, long for those moments, and again be re-energized because Hara Maria is going to come to you. Those moments are not long gone. Those moments are here. The iris are still in the world. And as soon as we turn back, as soon as we're nasan daita lachzar, I want to go back to that Rosh Hashanah, that ne'ila, those moments of his iris. I want to go back there. Guess what? You can go back. You can go back. You can go back to the Hara Maria in your life. And not only do you have to, you don't even have to schlep there. The Hara Maria is going to come to you. If your mind is at the Hara Maria, then you are at the Hara Maria. If your mind is going back to the chasna that was so joyous, then even if right now things are a little tough, it's okay, I'm at the chasna again. The past is not just merely things that are bygone moments that, you know, we could just look back in photo albums at and say, wow, those are great times. We can actually go back to those times and seep up the iris from those times, and that will be able to give us the ability to go forward. So many times, you know, there's moments that I remember certain things in my life. You know, my father has been nifter for 12 years now. It wasn't a day that I didn't, you know, call him every day multiple times. Till today, sometimes I'm sitting in my office by my desk and I start dialing his number 12 years later. It's almost like, you know, like mechanical. Like it was such a normal thing. And I miss, you know, my father's etzus, and we were very close, and I enjoyed his company, and, you know, whatever he said was had an imic to it, had a gravity to it, and I miss it. But if I think back on those moments, it's not just walking down memory lane, it's you're tapping into it. You're actually able to re-experience those. You're going back on that magal achayim, on that circle of life, and you're able to re-experience moments in your past and take them with you in the future, because you're going to need them. You're going to need them. This is one of the great things about being a Yid, that we have a concept of tshuva. We can go back in time. We could change the past with our thoughts. We can re-experience the past with our thoughts. We could relive great events. A Jew is a man of history. That's what a Jew is. A Jew is not just a person that survived history. A Jew lives history. And history is alive to a Jew because it's literally alive. It's not commemorations. It's not remembrances. It's not anniversaries. It's living it again. It's living it again. The Hanukkah that we're about to experience. We're living with the Mesiras Nefesh of Matisyahu Uvanov and fighting the good fight against the Greeks and all of the messages that are so important to us today. We go into those times and we're able to recommit to those messages. We're in those messages. We're living those messages. We're living in those times. Pesach, Zman, Chay, Rusein, we could be free of so many of the shackles of our servitude. We could find freedom in those times. It's a time that's mesugal, that's special for gaining those experiences. Or if, let's say, now I need that Chayrus, do I have to wait till Nisan? That's a long time away. No, you just think back to Pesach, you think back to the Mitzrayim. And with that, says the Arugas HaBaisim, you're able to again experience that, the energy of freedom, and be free and break free from the shackles of those things that are enslaving us. You want as Matan Teresen, you feel like, boy, I can't wait for Shavuos again because I need to get recharged and to re-makabal it. No, you don't. You don't have to wait for Shavuos. You just think about last Shavuos, last Simchas Torah, and you say, you long for that experience, you think about, you dream it, and you're there. Har Maria is there for you. Har Sinai is there for you. And this is how it is with everything in our life. It's a very, very big yisayid that we share today about how the Jewish year works, how time works, how Yom Tovim, the iris of Yom Tovim, the Arugas HaBaisem, the Chazon Ish and Tefillah, all of these are lessons that we could take with us, that we're not people that are just living for the sake of living, walking through a straight line of time, getting older and further away from what we had, and looking forward to where we are. We can always have the future here. We can have the past wherever our mind is. B'makim, as the Helga Baal Shem used to say again, B'makim shemachshavti shalodim nimsas shamhu. Have a beautiful Shabbos, Rabbi Yisrael.